Welcome back to Off the Hour on CKUT. That was Aaron Lakoff speaking with Mustafa Hinawi from the Immigrant Workers Center. Last up on today's show, we'll go to a phone interview with Nahed Mansour, the director of the MayWorks Festival, a festival in Toronto working to bridge the gaps between arts, culture, and activism.
I'm joined on the line right now with Nahed Mansour, who is the director of the MayWorks Festival. She's joining us from Toronto, and that festival is going to be happening May 5th to the 13th. So first, welcome to the program, Nahed.
Thank you, Aaron. It's nice talking to you.
So just to begin, can you give us an overview? Tell us what the MayWorks Festival is.
Sure. MayWorks Festival is our actual name, MayWorks Festival of Working People in the Arts. It's an interdisciplinary festival, our main objective is to celebrate working class culture. And it's been around for, this is our 27th year as MayWorks Toronto, because there are MayWorks set up in different cities across Canada. And MayWorks is the largest labor arts festival and oldest labor arts festival. So that's something we're really proud of. And the premise of the festival is that workers and artists share a common struggle for decent wages and as well healthy working conditions and a living culture. And we don't only represent workers and those employed, but something really important to us that's reflected in our programming is to represent the underemployed or the unemployed. And increasingly, we've been trying to kind of forefront the issues of precarious work and undocumented laborers as well. So I guess a roundup of what MayWorks is about.
Okay. So, the festival is happening again May 5th to the 13th. It's happening over a week. Can you just kind of talk about, you know, some of the different kinds of displays or exhibits or performances that will be happening, and maybe give us a preview of some of the highlights of the festival?
Sure. So this year we actually have 14 events packed into our 9-day festival. And we're a multidisciplinary festival, so we showcase everything from music to visual arts to videos, theater, workshops, a whole range of different types of art. And this year, I think we have 6 performances, including talks and theater pieces. We have 3 visual art shows and 5 workshops. To pick a couple of highlights, we have our opening night event, which is our main event happening on May 5th at the Rivoli, is one we are co-sponsoring with Known as Legal. And the event is going to be called Alienation, and it's a celebration of creative resistance and struggle through art and music. And we're really celebrating what it means to have resilient communities. That night is going to be one where 3 spoken artists are going to open: Lashai Peel, Truth Is, and Ritalin, who are all familiar faces with MayWorks, and our feature performance is Dub Trinity. We're really happy to be co-sponsoring this event with Known as Legal. We've done, 2 years ago, we had our opening event co-sponsored with Known as Legal, and it was a really great event, and we're hoping to have the same kind of turnout this year. I'd just say, in terms of artistic objectives, having served on the programming committee of MayWorks for several years now, I can say that the festival's artistic vision really stems out of our equity policy, which not only guides the type of programming we do, but also types of venues that we hold our events in. So, for example, our mandate is that all our events take place in accessible venues, and most of the venues that our events are held in are based in community groups, community centers, and arts organizations that we have partnered with in the past. So these are kind of building on these kinds of alliances and partnerships. And a lot of our events, I'd say most of them, are ones that we co-sponsor with progressive community groups or similar arts organization with similar mandates. And as well, this kind of the way we treat our equity policy, which is at the base of our mandate, has us so that the audience that we promote our events to really outreaches a broad range of audiences. So we not only recognize the systematic discrimination faced by women, First Nations people, people of color, queer identified people, and other historically marginalized groups, but we actively seek their inclusion and representation in our festival as not only artists, but also our audience. So we provide programming that really engages new artists in all mediums. So this is something we do regularly. We promote emerging artists, and a lot of people that we've showcased in the past are now, you know, going further in their career and becoming more established artists, which is something we're really proud of. And as well, we often showcase really high caliber art of established artists that are politically and socially engaged. For example, last year we had an incredible exhibition, visual arts exhibition that featured Camille Turner, also known as Miss Canadiana, and artist Rick Hill. And a lot of these artists are ones that, you know, we have kind of a long-term engagement with, but as well, we'd like to kind of promote and open up space for new emerging artists to also submit to the festival.
All right. And I guess lastly, you know, looking at art through a bit of like a social and political lens, which of course that's what it sounds like MayWorks is trying to do and bringing to the forefront. It seems like it's kind of scary times for the artistic sector all across Canada right now. I mean, we just saw with the Harper budget that came out just last month, cuts to the National Film Board, cuts to Telefilm Canada, cuts to the CBC. So, you know, given this extremely right-wing kind of austerity context that we're living in right now, why do you feel it's important to have festivals like this that, you know, bring together the artistic world and the activist, various activist communities?
Right. Actually, MayWorks is kind of straddles the labor movement and the artist movement, cultural kind of movement, and we find ourselves within this position really trying to promote and kind of forefront cultural activity. And we see culture and art as being necessary within, you know, and they're actually very present and at the forefront of various social movements. And in terms of cuts to funding, MayWorks, like so many other arts organizations, has felt these cuts. And it's something we've, you know, fight back in trying to fundraise in our, you know, strong belief that these are important festivals, that art is important, that the works of our artists that we represent, who really encompass a large range of various identities and with different social and political kind of urgencies, we really hope to be, you know, fighting back and successfully winning back these spaces where we're able to forefront our works and the politics of our works. And, you know, so many of the works that MayWorks features is highly political. For example, this year, we're actually teaming up and co-sponsoring an event called Food Fight, Resisting Austerity, with Ontario Council of Hospital Unions, OCHU, as well as the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, OCAP. They've done an amazing video called Poverty and Health, a Special Diet, and it's a short video about the special diet allowance that OCAP has specifically been campaigning for a while. And we're going to screen their video along with a video that Lawrence Heights Youth Food Justice Group has done about accessible and affordable food in Lawrence Heights, which is a neighborhood in Toronto that struggles with having healthy food for all. So in that event, for example, we're going to have our panelists, these two groups, talk about their work, talk about their campaigns, and really MayWorks really tries to carve out a space for such groups to promote and to share what their work does, which is really combined various social movements about, you know, whether it's affordable living or affordable food, accessible space, whatever these issues are. We really try to carve out a space where groups can bring their issues to the forefront through artistic means. As well, we have Department of Public Memory, and they're a group that made up of two people that go around the city of Toronto and collect stories from people about services they long for. And these are services, of course, that have been cut in Toronto by Mayor Ford. So they're really, what they do is they collect and they make kind of these monuments that where they're remembering public services that we once had. And of course, it's kind of like a mock intervention, but it's a political act that really brings forward these kinds of cuts to funding, cuts to services. And we believe that arts is always at the forefront of these struggles.
All right. It sounds like a wonderful festival. Again, we've been speaking on the phone with Toronto-based activist and artist Nahed Mansour, who is the director of the MayWorks Festival happening in the city of Toronto, May 5th to the 13th.
Welcome back to Off the Hour. That was, again, Aaron Lakoff with Nahed Mansour. Before we go, I want to read a letter by Mandy Hiscox, published on her blog. Mandy Hiscox is one of the 20 people who were accused of being part of a criminal conspiracy for organizing protests against the G20 Leaders Summit in Toronto in the summer of 2010. She is currently in jail, from where she writes the blog Bored But Not Broken. Here is what she wrote today. It's called Happy May Day. I've been excited for May Day for weeks now, which is funny because I won't be able to go to any marches or actions or events this year. Still, just knowing that around the world, friends, allies, people I love, people I respect, and a whole lot of people I don't know will be standing up against capitalism and austerity measures for workers and migrants and the poor, it all makes me so happy. And I feel like because you're all hitting the streets, I am too, even though I'm in jail. It's hard to explain this amazing feeling, and these words certainly aren't doing it justice. Maybe this is what being there in spirit really means. All I can say is that lately it's been seeming like the world and fences and locked doors that separate us don't mean much of anything. So happy May Day. The state has failed once again. The first time I was arrested for a political action was on May Day. It was the late 90s, the Mike Harris years. Remember those? Shudder. It was a classic nonviolent civil disobedience action called May Day on Bay, calling attention to poverty and homelessness amidst the wealth and greed of Toronto's financial district. We blocked the intersection of King and Bay, right in the belly of the beast, until the cops hauled us off and charged us with mischief. It was a relaxed and very polite protest, but I remember that it was still a bit scary to get arrested knowingly like that. I also remember how supported I felt by the older and more experienced organizers. I reflect a lot on how much my ability and desire to stand up to the state now owes to the people who were there at the beginning when I had very little confidence and no experience. So if you were part of the action that day, thank you. Maybe we could all find some time on this busy day of anarchism and organizing to appreciate the anarchists and organizers who came before us. Let's commit to learning from their struggles and experiences, and let's take a moment to assess that we are contributing to the experiences of those whose struggles are just beginning. We need the enthusiasm and the fearlessness of youth, but we also need the perspective of those who have been around for a while. We won't get far if we don't work together. May Day is about community and continuity, after all. Before it became the day of massive protests that we're familiar with, it was a community celebration of spring, of hope and life and renewal. It was about our connection to the land, and which, because we lost it, is at the core of all of our protests against capitalism, although we don't always know it. There is a beautiful piece of writing called The Witch's Child that merges these two aspects of May Day. I hope you can take some time to read it. Above all else, perhaps, May Day is about freedom. Freedom from hunger and exploitation. Freedom to associate and to actually live life. So I'd like to end this post with a shout out to a friend whose freedom has been severely restricted for almost 2 years and is now in the hands of the sketchy and somewhat arbitrary, quote, justice, unquote, system. Kelly Flugback was arrested in relation to the Toronto G20 protests in 2010 and has spent a lot of her time since then on very isolated house arrest and strict bail conditions. I don't know how much about her situation because I don't know much about her situation because despite the fact that we weren't co-accused, she was forced to sign non-association conditions with all of the alleged G20 co-conspirators in order to make bail. Again, we witness the paranoia of the state. What I do know is that she will be sentenced sometime in May, and that people out in the world with internet access know when and where. So please spread the word if you know, and find out if you don't, then head to the courthouse and show your support for Kelly. Despite being uprooted from her community, vilified in the media, and treated harshly by the police and the court, she has kept her head up, as I knew she would. The Kelly I know is a thoughtful and caring person who, if the world made any sense, would be thanked and celebrated for the amazing work she does. If you don't know her, check out this interview from last March to see what those in power are so afraid of. Stay strong, Kelly, and remember the words of Marilyn Buck. They call me an enemy of the state, so I know I must be doing something right. Love and rage, Mandy.
I think we all have a duty to stand up and make our voices heard and to fight against what the government are doing.
I get down for my people, down for my people, down with the government and to all people, down with the media and the corporations. I am not down with invading these nations. Stand up for my people, up for my people, fist in the sky until we're all equal. We need more meetings, more demonstrations, occupy parliament, this is our nation. I am down for equality, I am down to abolish the lottery, down with all the government's policies. Silly me to believe, no more tuition fees, 9 grand when there's still soldiers in the homeland. Lines of divisions in Palestine and Kashmir, Afghanistan, but we put the lines there. Now we created that. Civil war wasn't born, we made it a fact. The news releases pictures saying that we're violent, but if we're not violent, the media is silent. We still got British soldiers occupying Ireland, and they wonder why we're still fighting. Fighting for the third world and everyone who lives there. Fighting the feds who pulled Jody out of his wheelchair. We're fighting for justice and fighting for unity. Bottom line is, yeah, we're fighting for you and me.
I get down for my people, down for my people, down with the government until we're all equal, down with the media and the corporations. I am not down with invading these nations.
Stand up for my people, up for my people, fist in the sky until we're all equal. We need more meetings, more demonstrations, occupy parliament, yeah, this is our nation. See, cause these are my people and this is our nation. Too many people have died in fed stations. The USA have got too many military bases in places where they're not welcome faces. It's gone past racist, it's imperialism, capitalism, a straight hatred. How can we change this? Ideally, we take the whole concept of money and erase it, but this is not feasible. But at the bare minimum, all of our people are equal. The rich man is the same as the poor, but the poor man still gets ignored. And we're not the same as the law, but the real criminals are the ones that are making the wars. The companies funding the wars are the ones we are targeting for. Let's get them.
I get down for my people, down for my people, down with the government until we're all equal, down with the media and the corporations. I am not down with invading these nations.
Stand up for my people, up for my people, fist in the sky until we're all equal. We need more meetings, more demonstrations, occupy parliament, this is our nation.
We should be fighting for equality for all people, irrespective of race, religion, gender, wealth, or physical ability.
We must also be 100% clear that while they are talking about cutting spending here, cutting jobs there, cutting benefits there, cutting EMA here, we also have to realise that this country is involved in the occupation of Afghanistan and the full-fledged support of Israel.
And this is the central issue at the core of every conflict that is happening. You could not justify killing millions of people in wars around the world unless you considered those people inferior to yourselves.
But honestly, at the end of the day, we must always take it back to this, and it's a quote from someone called Frederick Douglass. He said, "Power concedes nothing without demand. So we must always demand, 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 demand." Thank you very much.
The song I would like to dedicate to everybody who's a member of the working class.
In the lead-up to the May 1st festivities, we asked organizers from Solidarity Without Borders to expose the links between workers' rights and the migrant justice struggle. Answering our questions are Jaggi of No One Is Illegal and Mustafa of the Immigrant Workers Center.
There are a lot of interesting parallels and links to make around May 1st and migrant justice struggles. If we go back to the origins of May Day, it was the struggle for the 40-hour work week and the 8-hour work day, which we take for granted today, but which was a huge struggle. The people at the forefront of that struggle were immigrant workers, folks from Germany, from Poland, from Eastern Europe, lots of Jewish migrant laborers who lived and worked all over the U.S. and in Canada, along with native-born workers. And they fought and struggled for that and paid the ultimate price.
Feeling like we used in these states of abuse. No need to be confused, cause we come and grow. Feeling like we used in these states of abuse.
You know, when we look at previous struggles and when we look at previous worker struggles, they've always been led by immigrant and migrant workers. So even in Montreal, when we look at the textile industry, the 1937 strike that was done by the Women's Garment Workers Association, or union, that was mainly Jewish migrant workers who, you know, roughly 5,000 Jewish women migrants who were, you know, launched this strike in Montreal for equal pay, better work conditions, really about issues about the entire class.
So there's a strong tradition, even right here in Montreal, of people who come from abroad who contribute to social justice struggles, who are part of social justice struggles.
People getting paid in a crazy way. Decisions for our life, I said we got no say, no life control on the ways.
So if there was status for all, if we actually had full regularization, and if migrant workers were given permanent residency as soon as they got here, employers wouldn't have the capacity or the ability to exploit people so easily and to undermine the work conditions of people now. So when we look at examples like ALMA, in ALMA, Quebec, Rio Tinto Alcan, where they're trying to outsource all of the work, where are they going to outsource that to? To migrant workers. We're going to take lower pay, lower conditions, worse conditions. But if they had permanent residency and they didn't have to fear their deportation, maybe they would actually fight side by side with those Rio Tinto Alcan workers to say, no, we want the same wages, the same rights as everybody. So the fight for status for all is a fight for all working people. It's that basic solidarity that, you know, that society is actually ever going to change.
This is about community. This is about freedom now. This is about power.
So May Day is a way to reclaim not just working class struggles for justice and dignity, not just general struggles against oppression, but to say that those are linked to immigrant struggles. And that's so important because in a context of austerity, in a context where people are being forced through government policies to cut back, social programs are being cut back, jobs are being lost, it's very easy to play divide and rule. It's very easy to put the blame not on a capitalist economic system, not on the government that imposes these policies, but rather blaming immigrants or blaming others for taking jobs and what have you. And the strength of working class struggles has been when immigrant labor and non-immigrant labor are actually linked together and focus on the real enemy. So that message is not an incidental message to May Day. It's part and parcel to May Day.
The song I would like to dedicate to everybody who's a member of the working class. Working class.
Drowning dog.
Coming.